弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace be with you, brothers and sisters.
大概在一年多前的时候，我曾经在这里我讲过，约拿书的讲道。
Roughly about a year ago, I preached a sermon using the same book of Jonah.
那时候我讲的内容是整个约拿书的第一章。
At that time, it was about chapter one.
其实约拿书这整本书它可以。用五篇讲章，都有五个不同的信息把它讲完。
This whole book of Jonah can be preached in five parts, each for a chapter.
因为它虽然是一个完整的故事，可是它有很明显的转折，在每一个转折当中，它教导我们一个信息。
Though it has a very clear message, but it has many turning parts that offers some insights.
我们说约拿书是很特别的一卷书。
We said this is a special book.
我们知道约拿是一个先知。
And we know that Jonah is a prophet.
从第一章我们看的时候，我们那时候谈论到约拿是一个很不寻常的先知。
And he's a very unusual prophet.
因为他虽然是一个领受神话语的先知，可是他却不愿意听从神的话语。
Although he received the words from God, but he did not want to follow.
他听到上帝叫他去尼尼微城传福音，但是他却往西班牙逃。
God sent him to Nineveh, but he went to a different direction to Spain or Tarsus.
所以那时候我有跟各位提到说，我们可能会把约拿给看扁了。
So at that time, or in my previous sermon, I said that we may have looked down upon this prophet.
感觉上，就凭约拿这种资质，我们每个人都还比他更顺服、更属灵。
We probably feel that we are more spiritual than Jonah.
但是从第二章这里开始，我们要发现一个不一样的约拿。
But starting from chapter two, we will find that Jonah is actually different from what we thought.
我们在这边看到的是约拿的祷告。
Here we see Jonah's prayer.
从我们刚才所读的经文，我们发现约拿他对圣经是非常的了解。
From the passage that we just read, we understand that Jonah really knows the Bible.
我在用原文去解这个经的时候，我发现约拿他用的这些词句都是从诗篇里面有关联的词句。
And from studying chapter two, in its original Greek scripture, I understand that it used a lot of the verses from the Psalms.
可以说是把诗篇中最精彩、最精华的核心都放在他的祷告里面了。
We can say that he pulled a lot of the most beautiful part of Psalms and put it in this chapter two.
可以说，约拿他如果只要真的他愿意服侍神，他会是一个非常有属灵能力的一个先知。
So you can say that if Jonah is really want to serve God full-heartedly, he will be a tremendous prophet.
整个约拿书它的结构很简单，围绕着约拿这一个人。
You can see this is a very simple, short book, and the whole message surrounds on this character, Jonah himself.
我们首先在第一章看到说他不听神的话，硬是要逃离神。
In the first chapter, we saw how he ran away from God's command.
他坐船往他市去，但是中途就遇到了风浪，船就几乎要沉了。
Then God caused a big storm in the middle of his journey, and the boat was almost sank.
那时候约拿就躲到船舱底下睡觉，结果所有的水手在祷告上帝。
And Jonah went to the bottom of the boat to sleep, while all the sailors were praying fervently.
约拿是唯一一个信上帝、信奉上帝的信徒，他不祷告，他在睡觉。结果所有的这些外邦的水手在祷告上帝。
So all the pagan non-believers of those sailors are praying, but the only person that believe in God, Jonah himself, did not pray.
到了第二章，我们看到这个祷告的人变成了约拿。
But suddenly in chapter two, is Jonah's prayer.
到了第三章呢，则是约拿他起来就往尼尼微城去，跟那边的居民还有国王去求告上帝。
And then in chapter 3, we see Jonah went to Nineveh and preached to the people and the emperor in that city.
从第一章到第三章中，求告上帝的人先是外邦人。
So from chapter 1 through 3, the first part, it was those pagan or Gentile who were praying to the to God.
再来是约拿的祷告。
Then chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer.
再来又是这些外邦人他们的祷告，他们的向上帝的求告。
And chapter 3 are the prayers of, again, the Gentile, those who live in Nineveh.
我们看到是凡是在何时有人愿意祷告，有人愿意寻求上帝的旨意，有人愿意顺服，就会有人信主，就会有人蒙恩。
And all those three chapters, we see that whenever people pray to God, you will see people being saved.
约拿他不是一个普通的人，他见过很多神迹。
Jonah is not an ordinary person. He experienced many miracles.
他也对圣经非常的熟悉。
And he's very, he had a very good understanding of the Bible.
他在学识上，他一定是很了解神学，了解上帝要给他的信息的。
So he is very knowledgeable on the message.
但是当上帝呼召他往尼尼微城去的时候，他为什么不愿意呢？
But how come he did not want to follow God when he received the calling?
他很顽强的要躲避上帝的面。
In fact, he was defiant. He was trying to running away from God's face.
从这个问题的意思上，我们要来读约拿书。
So just because of this particular sense, we want to read this chapter.
我们不能把约拿书当作一个单纯的宣教故事。
We should not treat this book of Jonah as a simple missionary story.
说你们都要去传福音，都要跟不信主人传福音。
It's not just a simple message of, okay, go preach gospel to all non-believers.
它其实是在处理一个现代性的一个基督徒的问题。
Actually, this book is to help us to deal with Christians' problems.
就是那种老信徒，那些信主很久的人，那些顽梗的这些信徒心里面的这些问题。
Especially to old Christians who are not submissive to God.
这本约拿书信息其实是在说，约拿啊，你们这些基督徒啊，你们信我这么久，其实你们不懂我的心。
So what God's message is actually saying that Jonah, or in general, you old Christians, although you have accepted my salvation for many years, but actually you do not understand my heart.
上帝对我们每个人有呼召。
God has His calling to every one of us.
只要你肯顺服这个呼召，上帝就会使用你做成他奇妙的工。
As long as you are willing to be submissive, God will use you to accomplish His mighty work.
上帝所看重的不是你的恩赐，也不是你的能力。
God does not really look how much talent that you have.
因为恩典、恩赐和能力都是从上帝来的。
Because talents and abilities all come from God.
上帝所看重的是你我顺服的心。
But what God cares most is your heart of submission.
当我们愿意顺服神的旨意的时候，就会有人因此而得救。
So when we are willing to be submissive to God, then we will see people being saved.
就会有人蒙福。
And people receive God's blessing.
约拿他就是像很多的老基督徒一样，头脑里非常懂圣经。
Just like many Christians, Jonah is a person that has many knowledge about God.
但是心里面却不懂上帝。But
his heart does not understand God.
所以我们读约拿书二章，我们来看的，不单只是宣教，我们要来看上帝的管教。So
in chapter 2, not only we want to see mission, God's mission, but also, we want to see God's teaching on Jonah.
为了让我们明白神的心意是什么，为了让我们懂神的心，神会对他的子女施行管教。
Because God cares about us, so He will carry out His disciplines, or in other words, spanking on us.
在信徒的这些生活的神学的这些问题上，我们常常把这些东西归类为苦难的议题。
And many times we treat those God's spanking as what we see as suffering.
有时候，你生病，你觉得啊是苦难。
For example, if when you fall to sickness, you feel this is a suffering.
或是有时候你像约拿一样，你遭受船难、遭受空难，你觉得啊，这个是苦难。
Or you met troubles in transportation, just like Jonah, then you feel this is unfortunate that you fell into such a suffering.
对，出车祸你觉得是苦难。
Car accident.
丢工作你觉得这是苦难。
Lost job.
但是我们有没有想过，这个会是神对我们的管教？
But can this be a teaching point from God?
圣经中对于苦难和管教有非常清楚的教导。
And in the Bible, it has very clear teaching about discipline.
其中一段在希伯来书。
One of them is in Hebrews.
希伯来书是写给那些在信仰资历上还比较浅的希伯来人的教会的一卷书。
The book of Hebrews was written to those Jews who just believed in God, believed in Christ for a very short period of time.
他在劝勉，这作者在劝勉这些信徒，坚守他们信仰的时候，就谈到上帝的管教。
So the author of the book advised those Christians about God's discipline.
希伯来书十二章就说，你们与罪恶相争，还没有到流血的地步。
In chapter 12, verse 4 of Hebrew, it says, In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood.
你们又忘了那劝你们如同劝儿子的话，说我儿，你不可轻看主的管教，被他责备的时候也不可灰心。
And you have forgotten that word of encouragement and that addresses you as sons.My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline.
被他责备的时候也不可灰心。
And do not lose heart when he rebukes you.
因为主所爱的，他必管教，又鞭打所收纳的儿子。
Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son.
你们所忍受的是上帝管教你们，待你们如同待儿子，因有儿子不被父亲管教的呢。
Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father?
管教原是众子所共受的。你们若不受管教，就是私子，不是儿子了。
If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you areillegitimate children and not true sons.
我们曾有生身的父管教我们，我们尚且敬重他，何况万灵的父，我们岂不更当顺服他得生吗？
Moreover, we have all that, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits?And live.
生身的父都是暂随己意管教我们，唯有万灵的父管教我们，是要我们得益处，使我们在他的圣洁上有份。
Verse 10, Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they saw best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness.
凡管教的事，当时不觉得快乐，反觉得愁苦。后来却为那经练过的人结出平安的果子，就是义。
No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
我们要从这一段圣经的神学教导里面，我们要看约拿的经历。
So we want to see the experience of Jonah in the light of this passage we just read.
从我们刚才念的这一段希伯来书经文当中，我们可以归纳出三个关于上帝管教的重点。
So from what we read in Hebrew, we can summarize that three points in God's discipline.
第一个是我们受到管教是因为神爱我们。
The first one is that we see God's discipline because God loves us.
第二个重点是神的管教是为了我们得益处，比如我们生我们的父亲还更了解我们。
The second one is that God's purpose is for our own good because He knows better than our earthly father.
第三个关于管教的这个信息是管教事情在之后，在当时觉得愁苦，但在事后必定要结出仁义平安的果子。
The third lesson we learn is that although it was painful at the time of being disciplined, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace, the fruit of peace.
从整卷圣经当中，我们都可以印证这样子管教的原则。
So from the whole Bible, we can verify those principles of discipline.
摩西在跟以色列民告别的训话当中，有提到这一类的管教。
And Moses also mentioned this when he was saying his farewell to the Israelites.
他在申命记八章五节劝勉以色列人说，你当心里思想耶和华你上帝管教你，好像人管教儿子一样。
He says in Deuteronomy 8:5, he said, you should think this way, that Jehovah your God teaches you. It's just like a father disciplines his son.
所罗门也教导他的儿子要听从上帝的管教，说我儿不可轻看耶和华的管教，也不可厌烦他的责备，因为耶和华所爱的他必责备，正如父亲责备所喜爱的儿子。
Likewise, King Solomon teaches his children this way in Proverbs 3:11-12. It says, my son, you should not despise God's discipline. You should not be feel tired about his rebuke because God will discipline whoever that he loves, just like father will rebuke his son.
大卫王更是承认上帝的管教很有价值。他在诗篇里面他说，我为受苦以前我走迷了路，现在我却遵守你的话。耶和华，我知道你的判语是公义的，你使我受苦，以诚实待我。
And King David also admitted that God's discipline is very valuable. So he wrote in Psalm 119 this way, Do good to your servant according to your words. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your words. I know, O Lord, that your laws are right, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me.
我们从约拿书第二章中，我们看到约拿正在遭受这样的管教。
So in the chapter 2 of Jonah, we see that Jonah is being disciplined at that moment.
然后他对上帝就献上了非常虔诚的祈祷。
Then he offers this very sincere and earnest prayer to God.
在后来解经家当中，有人怀疑这约拿书是一个伪造的作品。
Later on, some theologians suspected that the book of Jonah was a fake book, was not authentic.
他们就是认为约拿书的神迹是太不可思议了。
Because this miracle was so dramatic, beyond our comprehension.
他们否定约拿书第二章。
So they deny or feel that it's impossible for a human being to write chapter 2.
但是不是因为第二章的一到九节约拿书祷告，而是因为第十节。
It's not because of his prayer from verse 1 of chapter 2 until 9, but rather It's chapter, it's verse 10.
因为第十节那边说, 耶和华就吩咐鱼, 鱼就把耶和华吐在旱地上。
Verse 10 says, And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
他们用科学的这方法讲说, 在整个地中海区域, 他们去找不到这种大鱼, 可以游到很浅的地方, 把人吐到岸地上, 又大到可以让人在鱼腹中, 在鱼的这个胃酸当中, 存留好几天性命的这种鱼。
So they said, well, according to our scientific research, there's no such a big fish that can swim so close to the shore in the Mediterranean Sea, number one. Number two, how can a human being live 3 days in the stomach of that big fish? That person must be killed by the stomach acid.
可是如果你们看这个约拿书里面约拿祷告，你就知道， 他的祷告当中虽然引用很多诗篇， 但是也有很多他很具体的处境。
But however, if we pay close attention to the scriptures, we can see that not only Jonah put in some beautiful scriptures from the Psalms, but we can also see some description of the environment.
在我看来，真正奥妙且不可思议的， 在约拿书第二章其实是这一段祷告。
To me, the most amazing part in chapter 2 is such.
第三节他说, 你将我投下深渊, 就是海的深处, 大水环绕我, 你的波浪洪涛都漫过我身。
Verse 3, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, all your waves and breakers swept over me.
第五节也说, 诸水环绕我, 几乎淹没我, 深渊围住我, 海草缠住我的头。
Verse 5 says, In the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head.
第六节他讲, 我下到山根, 地的门将我永远关住。
Verse 6, To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever.
你们要知道古代的中东人他们其实是相信为什么叫做山根，他们相信这个山的这些它的山脚其实是下到海的深处的，这个山一座山是从它的这个地壳的地方往上，然后水是把山的这个山脚淹没了，所以才浮出地面跟山上来。
Here verse 6 it says roots of the mountain because ancient people at that time believed that the mountain was just like plants, so rooted deeply into the sea.
然后他们相信这些水是从地的这些地壳里面涌流出来，他们相信在海底都有这种喷泉的这种入口，把这个水喷出来成为海。
They believe that there are holes on the bottom of the sea that spring out the water, and that's why it filled the whole sea.
因此从这样的一个理解当中，你会看到约拿才说， 我下到了山根， 而且地的门将我永远关住。
That's why Jonah has this perception of that he had been to the root of the mountain and to the bottom of the earth.
但是他却说， 耶和华我的神啊， 你将我的生命， 将我的性命从坑中拯救出来。
However, in the second half of chapter of verse 6, Jonah says, But you brought my life up from the pit.
他两次提到说，他要在耶和华的圣殿中仰望神，他要在圣殿中，他要见到耶和华的圣殿。
So he mentioned twice that he has seen God's temple. He enters God's temple.
但是实际上， 他所被从坑中拯救出来的地方，他所谈的这些圣殿，其实他在那条鱼腹当中所思想所做的一切的祷告。However,
that was happening when he was in the stomach of this big fish.
他已经把这条鱼当做上帝拯救的器皿，把这条鱼的鱼腹当做祷告的圣殿。In
other words, he had treated this big fish as God's presence and the fish's stomach as God's temple.
上一次我前一次我讲到的时候，我提到在福克兰群岛，20世纪初也有一个人是被鱼大鱼吞吃，然后吐出来的。
Last time when I preached over here, I mentioned that in the Falkland Island, south of Argentina, there was a record that a person was swallowed by a big fish and then spit out.
他活了下来，但是视力受损，而且那个皮肤溃烂了，花了很久才好。However,
that person suffered a lot, especially because of skin. It was soaked by the stomach acid.
在渔夫当中绝对不是一个很舒服的环境，但是他在那里，他做出约拿在里面做出这样子一个感谢的祷告。We
definitely understand that it's not a very comfortable place in the big fish's stomach. However, Jonah brought out such a beautiful prayer.
因为他已经看到上帝对他管教的价值。Because
he has seen the value of God's discipline to him.
约拿他发现说，上帝管教他，不单只是因为他犯了罪，他犯了违背神的这个罪行。Jonah
understood that God disciplined him not only because he did not obey God's command to go to Nineveh.
他更加的去明白说，管教不是出于上帝的愤怒，而是出于纯真的爱。He
understood that God disciplined him not because God's angry, but because of God, because of the love of God.
就像是明智的父母为了要训练孩子成才，会管教孩子。
Just like wise parents would discipline their children.
幼童如果能够领悟这一点，他就能学习成长的很健康、很快乐。
And children, if they understood the discipline and understood the hearts of the parents, they can grow and learn.
上帝管教我们的目的就是这样。 不是为了惩罚，而是要引导我们走上祂所为我们预备的道路。Likewise,
God disciplined us in order to bring us to the path that He has prepared for us.
约拿他偏行己路要走向他时，但是上帝要把他带回尼尼微，成就他的工作。So
Jonah went astray to Tarsus, and God wanted to bring him back to Nineveh.
在这个管教当中，约拿他领受了他四个信息，从他偏行己路的过程当中回转过来。Therefore,
God helped Jonah to turn around on his way of going astray.
约拿他有在四个点上，他领受了上帝的信息，他知道自己走错了。And
Jonah found out that he had four dimensions that he went astray.
他开始要明白的是。 他在种族跟国族主义这个点上，他没有明白上帝的心意。First
is that he realized that he did not understand God's heart because of his racism.
他作为犹太人，他认为福音是属于我们的特权，是不应该让外邦人拥有的。Because
he originally felt that we Jews are the only one that deserve the salvation. So we should not share that those salvation with Gentiles.
所以他宁可要坐船在海中都要淹死了，他都还不愿意去往尼尼微传福音。Therefore,
he would rather risk his life in the sea to die than sharing the salvation with those Gentiles in Nineveh.
但是他在这个工作，这个祷告当中，他开始寻求神给他的功课。But
in this prayer in chapter 2, he started searching the lesson that God intended to give him.
第八节他说，那信奉虚无主神的人，离弃爱他们的主。Chapter
verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
而第九节他更说，救恩出于耶和华。Verse
9, but I, with a son of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
约拿他的心里面不愿意跟外邦人传福音，可是他在他的神学上面他已经明白，而且他现在愿意承认说，这个福音是属于 万民万邦的。
He finally realized that in his theology, he realized that the salvation is meant for everyone, all people, all nations.
神在基督里面成就所成就的救恩是超越民族、超越政党、啊、超越各种意识形态的。
So in other words, God's salvation through Jesus Christ is for it's beyond race, beyond any kinds of religion or ideology.
在我们弟兄姐妹当中，我们也可以思想，我们是不是有约拿这样的一种倾向。
So we should examine ourselves whether we have this propensity like Jonah.
我们如果不了解福音是超越民族的，我们就可能不愿意向华人以外的人宣教。
If we don't understand that salvation is beyond race, then we are not willing to share gospel with non-Chinese.
如果我们不了解福音是超越政党的，我们或许就不愿意为我们所反对的敌对党的人的领袖祷告。
And if we don't understand that gospel is beyond political parties, then we would not pray for those who has opposing political points from us.
但是我们不能忘了，我们根本的目标不是在于谁是我们的同胞，谁是我们所喜爱的执政者。
Remember that our purpose is to not just focus on who are our countrymen or who are our favorite rulers.
我们必须了解上帝是世界的主宰，耶稣是教会的主宰。
We should understand that God is the ruler of this world, and Jesus Christ reigns.
Is the head of our church.
Is the head of church. Thank you.
我们所应该着眼的是整个人世间的救恩。
In other words, you see the salvation for this whole world.
如果我们不了解这一点，我们就像约拿一样，我们不明白神的心意。
Otherwise, we will be like Jonah, who did not understand God's heart.
约拿他在这个祷告当中，他第二点，他开始明白的，开始被打开的眼界，这是矫正他的自我本位主义。
The second thing that Jonah learned.Is that God opened up his selfishness?
约拿他本来有一个很强的自我。
Jonah was very strong centered on himself.
当神叫他往尼尼微城去的时候，他以为自己可以躲避神的面。
When God sent him to Nineveh, Jonah felt that he could get away from God.
我在大学念法文系的时候，我大四修了一门圣经课，是一个天主教的神父教的。
When I was in college, senior year, when I was studying a major in French, I took a course from a priest.
Yeah, Catholic priest. Yeah.
A Catholic priest.
然后他的课呢很有趣，他都会一边用他的中文，一边用他的法文跟我们。反复去讲圣经，他其实他想要讲圣经的目的多过于想要教法文。
So although the class was about French, but the priest was really trying to teach us more about Bible.
那他每次讲的，每一年年复一年开这门课，他会讲的一个很大重点就是，他强调神的主权跟人的渺小。
And he always emphasized the sovereignty of God and in comparison, the smallness of people.
所以在这个点上，就是他会说，你以为你能够违抗神吗？你以为在人世间，你有办法用自己的道路、自己的意思去过你的人生吗？
So he always asks us, do you think you can use your own way to live your life?
他就会用一个很有趣的中文，他就说，你以为你这个小 QQ 能够去抵抗神吗？
So he uses a cute Chinese. Saying that if you think your little QQ can fight against God's will,
所以他每一年他的中文他都是这样讲，所以每一年我们上过他的课的学长姐学弟妹都把这句话背起来了，都把他的一些常用的词背起来了。
Because he had used this so often in every of his class, so all our all of our French majors knows what he would say.
Yeah, 虽然不是有很多人因为这门课信主，可是大家在这个点上至少更了解福音，更了解基督教。
So through that French class, I actually learned more about Christianity and Bible.
但是这个重点是在神学上面是很重要的。我们要了解，我们是不能违抗上帝的心意的。
So the point is that we cannot fight against God's heart.
Yuna 他不相信神的话，他想要往神叫他往东边去，他往西边跑。结果一条大鱼在那边等着他，他想搭船，船难，风暴在那边等候他。
So we see God use miracle ways to change Jonah's destination with a big fish and with the wrecking of the boat.
耶稣曾经对那个时代挑战他的法利赛人说，一个邪恶淫乱的时代求神迹，除了约拿的神迹以外，再没有神迹给他们看。
And Jesus said to the people that you guys were looking for miracles. However, there's no bigger miracles than Jonah's.
但是你看约拿做神迹其实不小，有非常非常伟大的神迹，这些风暴还有这些大鱼，他们的目的就是要让约拿知道神他掌管大海，掌管陆地，掌管一切的生物。
So God used those the big fish and the bow rack and so forth to show Jonah that he is in charge of everything.
他展现他的主权，但的目的呢，是他现在要拿回约拿的心，他要在约拿的生命中去拥有主权。
So using those miracles, he want to take back God's Jonah's heart and let him know that he is in charge.
你不要有自我的骄傲，你不要继续的有这个自我的本位主义，你必须要放下你的自我中心。
So through this, Jonah learned that he need to give away his own selfishness.
约拿的自我中心，直到约拿书最后一章都还显露无遗。他爱那棵蓖麻树更胜过爱有十二万小朋友的一个尼尼微城的这些人民。
And this self-centered perspective is very hard to give away. Because even though we continue to read in chapter 4, we can see that Jonah even loved that plant or that vine more than all the people in the city of Nineveh.
我发现其实华人也有很强的本位主义。
And I think that we can discover Chinese also have a very strong self-centeredness.
当福音传到中国的时候，第一个要面对的就是这个中国人儒家信仰的本位主义。
When the gospel spread to China, we see that the first difficulty encountered is the traditional Confucius teaching.
因为福音强调是我们要顺服，我们要交出主权。因此本位主义就跟福音很难相容。
Because the gospel says you need to give God the sovereignty. Rather, the Confucius teaching is the opposite.
就像是我们刚才所唱的诗歌 I surrender all, 我们在会后结束会再唱一次，就是要教导我们放下自己，把我们的主权交给神。
Like the one of the hymns that we sang, I surrender all. We need to surrender the ownership to God.
我们要相信这个福音的信息的话，我们真的是要交出自己的主权，特别是一种在华人传统的思想里面，我们如果有这个抵抗福音的成分的话，我们必须要思考我们如何的把福音带进去。
So when we see that people resist to gospel, especially from the traditional Chinese thinking, we need to find a way to overcome that.
这种本位主义的思考在二十世纪里面有很多的新时代的这些运动，像是这五四运动，像是白话文运动，像是有各种的文学对它做出批评。
And we see that in the Chinese literature, in the early like the 1920s, 30s, several movements such as the May 4th movement and so forth.
我在这边我不会更多的去对文化上面做出批判，但是我要说的是，福音这边有一个本质，就是要我们去了解，唯有神他是超越文化，超越一切的种族，他必须要我们放下我们的本位主义。So
when we face God who is beyond all races and all ideologies, then we need to lay down our self-centered thinking.
Number
three, we found out that Jonah realized that he need to overcome the rivalries or hatred between people.
尼尼微城是亚述国那时候的首都，而 以色列的这个北国正是在亚述国的手下灭亡的。
Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, this country, and this country destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel.
所以对约拿来说，要跟这些对他们有亡国仇恨的敌人传福音，几乎是不可能的。So
to Jonah, this is a very hard mission because he has to share the gospel of salvation with the foes.
最近在中国大陆许多地方，对日本有强烈的这些抗议的游行跟示威的行动。We
saw recently the violent protest in China against the Japanese.
即使是在海外的一些地方，还有港台，也有一些相关的这些示威的活动。We
also see those protests in Taiwan and Hong Kong and overseas.
但是我们作为基督徒，我们是否能够了解到，福音是超越这样的一种国仇家恨的意识的？
But as a Christian, can we understand that sharing gospel should be beyond those rivalries of nations?
如果今天上帝对中国教会有个呼召说，你们的使命是要成就一个和好的工作，你们要去传福音给日本人。 不知道中国教会是否已经准备好领受这样的大使命。
So suppose God gave the Chinese Church a mission that you should share the gospel with Japanese people. Are we ready to do that?
但是在约拿书当中，我们就看到约拿在学习这样的一个顺服的功课。
But in the book of Jonah, we see that Jonah is learning such a lesson.
在这个顺服功课里面，它包含了对仇恨的宽恕跟原谅。This
lesson includes the forgiveness of hatred.
他更学习的要忍受不平等，并且要让神的宝血、神的十架的爱去遮盖他自己的软弱。And
he has to use God's grace to cover up his own weakness.
并且他还要相信福音是唯一能够去消灭敌人，能够去把化干戈为玉帛的一个最有效的方法。And
he has to believe that only gospel can defeat all the rivalries and reach true peace.
我们如果不能够从我们的自我的意识和仇恨当中走出来，我们或许可以躲往他施，我们或许可以躲掉大鱼，但是我们仍然躲不掉
So if we are not willing to give away the ideological rivalry or hatred against another race, then we were just like Jonah. We can get away from the bull wreck, the big fish, but we still cannot get away from God's discipline.
约拿在渔夫中他的祷告，他要学习的第四个属灵功课，则是
The fourth lesson that Jonah learned is that he need to love God more than anything else.
约拿书到第四章很特别，讲了一个故事。
In chapter 4, it describes another story.
这个有趣的故事是说，约拿他的确听从了神，他好像转变了一样，去尼尼微很尽心的传这个福音。
So Jonah did change changed his path and go back to Nineveh and share the big message with the people there.
他传了这个福音之后，尼尼微人也信了，也就悔改了。但是约拿很有趣，他传完福音以后，他就不愿意回去，他就跑到尼尼城外坐着，在那边等。But
after he saw people repented and accepted his message, however, he went to the east side of the city and just sit there.
他要等什么呢？因为上帝告诉他，启示说，如果尼尼微城不悔改。 40天后，尼尼微城就会被这个天火给灭亡。He
was waiting to see what God would do, because God told him that if those people did not repent within 40 days, he is going to destroy the city.
结果约拿就在外面被太阳晒，被太阳烤，火还没有降到尼尼微身上，已经把他整个人都烧晕了。He
was waiting for God's sending fire from heaven, but before that could happen, he was already burned by the heavy sunlight.
那就上帝也同情他，就在他所打坐的地方呢，就给他长了一棵树，长了一棵蓖麻树来遮蔽他。And
God had pity on Jonah, so God gave him a shade from a vine.
但是隔了一天呢，上帝又派了一只虫把这个蓖麻树给咬死了。But
the next day, God sent a worm, and the worm killed the vine.
结果约拿他就是怒不可遏。And
Jonah was so upset.
他直问上帝说：“你做这是什么事情呢？你让这个蓖麻树死了，我还活着有什么意义呢？”
So he even questioned God, "Why did you do such a thing? Why don't you just let me die?"
那上帝问约拿说：“你这样子发怒，对我发怒合理吗？”
But the Lord asked him, do you think this is reasonable that you show such a big temper toward me?
就约拿在这个四章九节，他回应说：“我发怒以至于死都合乎理。”And
Jonah showed his temper and saying that, I do. He said, I'm angry enough to die.
但是神就对回答他说：“这蓖麻树既不是你栽，也不是你种，一夜长出，一夜枯死，你尚且爱惜，而尼尼微城里面。” 有十二万的人民，他们是幼小到连左右手都分不出来的，我还不爱惜他们吗？他们是我所造的呢。But
in verse 10 and 11, God says to Jonah, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people." Who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?
约拿，你真是不懂神的心。So
Jonah did not understand God's heart.
我们或许也是，我们活在一个充满这种试探的时代。We
are living in an era that has a lot of temptation.
我们应该说。 我们是爱神的，但是我们却用其他东西取代了神。We
should say that we love God, but many times we substitute God with many worldly things.
有些时候是权力，有些时候是金钱，有些时候是各种的情色。We
chose either power or money or pleasure for our flesh.
这些东西把我们带离了神。Those
things take us away from God.
有些时候，有一些我们所享受的东西是来自神的属天的祝福，例如说友情跟亲情，跟真正的爱情。We
definitely enjoy the blessings from God, especially those related to human relationship with our family, with our loved ones.
但是我们不要忘记，这些祝福也就像是这个蓖麻树一样。 是上帝使它发生，是上帝使它长出的。But
let's don't forget that those blessings is just like that vine. It's God that let it grow.
当你的眼睛如果只专注在这棵蓖麻树，只专注在它所给你的凉爽，但是你忽略了神正在指向你的这个地方，这个尼尼微城，神所爱护的这些百姓的时候，我们就忽略了神的心意。
So if we only pay attention to those blessings, okay, it's just like we only pay attention to this vine. We forgot God's sight is on the people in that big city of Nineveh.
约拿他即使在第二章他做出这样祷告，可是他的生命中还需要被神调整跟对付。
So even though Jonah has such a good prayer in chapter 4, but we see that his life still needs God's discipline.
我们的生命也需要被这样调整。
And our lives are the same.
一面神会很难过地对我们说，我弟兄姐妹啊，其实你信我这么久，你还不懂我的心。
In one way, God would say to us that although you have believed in me for many years, you still don't understand my heart.
最后第五点，我们可以学习到的是，约拿他所没有的是一个神的时间观，一个上帝的时间观。The
fifth point that we can learn is that from Jonah is that Jonah does not have the concept or perspective of God's timing.
约拿从鱼腹当中出来以后，神就再次呼召他前往尼尼微。When
Jonah came out of the stomach of the fish, God led him to Nineveh.
信息跟第一次一样，说你往尼尼微去，宣告说再过40天，这尼尼微城就要倾覆了，你们要悔改。So
God gave him the message is the same as chapter 1. Says, go to Nineveh and preach this message and tell them that this city will be destroyed within 40 years if they do not repent.
40 days.
40 days.
Yeah. 但是约拿，他等于是他到第三章的时候，他回到跟第一章的时候一模一样的起点。
We see that Jonah in chapter 3 behaved just like in chapter 1.
不是他behave，是他的起点，就是约拿在第一章的时候，他不愿意做事情，他到第三章还是去做了。
Oh, he went back to the original point. In chapter 1, he did not want to do that. In chapter 3, he finally followed the command.
所以如果约拿他一开始他有上帝的时间观，他不需要浪费第二章的时间在鱼腹里面遭受这样的折磨。
If he had understand God's timing, he would not waste that time and go through the route of being in the stomach of the fish.
当我们遭受上帝的管教以后，我们会发现我们在世上时间减少了。And
we will feel that if we were disciplined by God, we know that we have wasted some time.
有些人他可能沉迷赌博，然后呢，他在这个赌海中沉浮十多年，突然猛然惊醒说。 他被上帝管教了，他浪费了这么多年的青春。Like
a gambler who might have spent more than 10 years in gambling and finally repented.
我自己曾经在我中学的时候，我浪费了10年的青春，我在外面游荡，我不认识神，我也不信神。When
I was in middle or high school, I wandered away several years. At that time, I did not know God. I did not trust God.
我即使成长在一个基督教的家庭里面，但是从我上中学的时候，我开始对信仰有很多的质疑。Although
I grew up in a Christian family, but when I entered middle school, I started questioning this faith.
我对我母亲她的在教会里面，在基督教界的这个侍奉，我心中我觉得她的侍奉哲学非常让我不能认同。
I could not agree with my mother's philosophy of serving in the circle of the Christian community.
她为了侍奉教会，为了侍奉做上帝的工作，她把我们的家庭里面她应该陪伴家人时间都牺牲掉。She
spent a lot of time on her services and you know at the sacrifice with the family time with us.
我从14岁开始，我就自发决定，我不再跟他讲话，把他当作隐形人。So
when I was 14, I made a decision that I would not speak to her.
我坚持了4年，到我18岁的时候，我真的不跟他讲过一句话。And
I did that for 4 years without speaking to my mom.
高中的时候，我一开始变得这个很好强，也很好胜，要在学校里面。 成为一个很风云的人物。
And in high school, I was very rebellious, and I was known for that in my school.
我在学校社团里面都展现很多的才华跟我的社交能力。
Although I had some talents and demonstrated that in different clubs.
但是我对师长所的管教，对那个管教是极其的不屑，而且就直接的跟他们用恶毒言语去咒骂他们。
And I had direct conflict with the authorities who tried to discipline me.
我在外面的时候，我跟帮派分子结党游混，而且我在学校也旷课过多。
I was even involved in gangsters.
在学校里面旷课也很多。And
I skipped a lot of classes.
到我18岁高三的时候，学校已经忍受不了把我开除。When
I get to third year or last year of the high school, when I would reached 18, I finally was kicked out from my high school.
那时候我妈妈她才警觉到，她就把她的工作丢下来，为了拯救我的生命，我的前途。 为了帮我，就是再找一个高中能够念完，至少高中并且上大学。
At that moment, my mom gave up her job trying to save me, save my future.
那个时候我们才开始恢复了一些讲话。
And then we, through that, we reconciled.
但是从高三我进到一个不同学校开始，一直到大二的时间，有2-3年时间，我完全沉迷在电脑游戏上面。
But after that, when I changed to a different high school and then I entered college, but in that 3-year span, I indulged myself in computer game.
我从现实人生中完全的撤退，把自己玩电脑游戏玩得玩物丧志，而且行销骨瘦的。
I spent a lot of time and energy on those games.
直到大三的时候，我重新的再回到现实人生中，因为参加学校基督教团契，使我产生了一点一滴的改变。And
until I reached my junior year in college, I started attending the student Christian fellowship, and then it brought me back to reality.
到大四的时候，我在法国参加天主教志工的时候，我感受到神对我的呼召，并且。 在大学结束的时候，我决志要开始侍奉神，并且受神学装备。
And at the senior year, when I went to France to study and in a volunteer services, I felt the calling of God. Then I made my decision to serve Him.
在我回来之后，我总是想着这个过程里面神对我的管教是什么。
So I continue to ponder why. What is God's discipline to me?
在这一段过程当中，我回来以后，我走回这一段以后，我得到了很多，但是我也发现，我失去了很多，有些东西我已经抓不回来了。
In a way, I felt that I learned a lot from such a unusual journey, but on the other hand, I found out that I did waste some time.
我相信约拿他。I
cannot. I'm sorry. A lot of things I cannot. Retrieve back.
我们相信约拿他经过渔夫这一招以后，他的身体结构跟他的心里面的这个心智都产生了永久性的改变，或是一些不可逆转的一些损伤。And
I would surmise that Jonah, when he went through such an experience, on both his physical and his mental or even spiritual, a process. He probably received some permanent scar or wound.
他也会变得更加的灵性上更加的成熟并且淬炼，但是他已经不会是原来，他的外表，他的很多的地方都会变得不一样。
He was definitely a different person after that.
对我来说，我也是在思想，我在过去。 沉迷这个打网络游戏、打电脑游戏那段时间，也对我的一些思考的形态造成了很大的一些改变。And
I believe that my journey also had a lot of impact to my views and thinking process.
就是我发现我已经不能够长时间的去专注在一个东西上面，而是说因为我的脑部结构已经太习惯那种很快的很反应，而且一种 multitasking 同时多功的那种工作模式，所以我已经回不到那种在传统的这种书院式的学习的时候，我常常发现我自己的记忆短期记忆力衰退。
For example, I found out because of the influence of the game and others that I am so accustomed to the multiple tasking environment. And I found out that I just could not concentrate for a long time. And those concentration is required in traditional educational process.
这个是我在神学院学习里面所挣扎部分，但是我也看到这就是神所管教的一个痕迹，他要在我们的生命中留下一道伤疤，也是一个见证。
So I can say that it's a scar of God's discipline, and I can see that in my struggle in the seminary of study.
所以，如果我们今天我们读了约拿书，我们可以呢提早做出一个回应，就是如果你今天神有对你有呼召的话，你不用，你可以不用去像约拿一样，你可以不必违抗神，你可以现在就顺服神。
So I want to give you a challenge that if you God is calling you, you don't have to you don't have to be like Jonah that goes astray. You can accept that calling right now.
你不需要浪费自己的时间，也不需要浪费上帝的时间。
Do not waste God's time and your time.
从一开始就遵从上帝的命令，你的生命就是有福的。
Be submissive at the beginning, and you will be a blessed one.
许多人总是喜欢偏行己路的。
People all like to go their own way.
其实我们说我们已经相信福音重生了，但是我们属肉体的内心仍然会不断的软弱。
Although we said we accepted Christ, but a lot of time we have our weakness of the flesh.
但是上帝的慈神爱所牵引，会不断的把我们带回生命的道路。
But God's grace will bring us back to the path of life that He meant us to walk on.
让我们仔细的想想，我们心中在我们所追求福音的时候，在我们接受这份信仰的时候，我们想要的不正就是要走上这个道路吗？
So let's remind, you know, the time that we accept this faith, that is a path we desire to walk on.
为什么我们还不肯听取他的教导呢？
Why?Are we delaying of accepting his teaching?
当我们遭遇苦难的时候，我们岂不是更该用信心去仰望上帝，祈求他为我们，他要我们所学习的一切吗？
If you are in the suffering or in his discipline, let's try to learn from his teaching.
约拿他在被鱼大鱼所吞吃，他在遭受船难的时候，他立刻知道这个船难、这个风暴不是偶然，这是鱼的出现也不是偶然，这是上帝的教导。
When Jonah saw the boat wreck and the big fish, he immediately understood that this is God's will. It's not coincidence.
因为他是个先知，而且他心里面他有这样的一种警醒，他的软弱在那边。
Because he is a prophet and he realized his own weakness.
希望今天的信息能够帮助我们去明白一些我们平时无法明白的真理。
I hope that today's message helps us to understand something that you did not saw through before.
有些信息可能要到我们遭受到这种苦难的折磨，还有神的管教的时候，我们才会明白。
And some messages we just cannot understand until the time of discipline.
但是其实这些信息都已经在这本圣经里面被融会贯通了。
But it was written over here.
神让先知把它记下来，为的是让我们能够学习，让我们能够顺服。
God had Jonah write his experience and teaching, so that we can learn from.
就让我们记得今天的信息求圣灵教导我们，内住我们心，叫我们体验他要我们学习的真理。
May the Spirit in us help us understand this message.